Let's turn again to Psalm 119, and we'll read from verse 1 down to the verse 8, the first part. Psalm 119, and we'll commence at verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity, they walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Amen, and may the Lord speak to us through those words we have read tonight. We come tonight to verse 2. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, and that seek him with the whole heart. Dear congregation, in Psalm 27 and verse 8 we read, When thou saidest, Seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, Thy face, Lord, will I seek. We see there the invitation. And then we see the response of the psalmist and how he responded. He responded in a sincere and upright way. My heart said unto thee, Thy face, Lord, will I seek. His heart was engaged. Oh, forever our hearts to be engaged as we seek the Lord in prayer. We see there his faith was fixed on the Lord, and his heart was in motion. Dear brethren, let us seek the Lord, and let us lift up our faith unto him, and seek him in a sincere way. As we see in our text tonight, let us seek the Lord, and also seek to keep his testimonies. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, and that seek him with the whole heart. Now, if you recall last week, we saw that David, we believe the psalmist here to be David, in this opening part of the psalm, in verses 1 through to verse 3, shows and underlines that the godly man is blessed. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his way. Now, certain things are set before us here by the psalmist, which describes the godly man who is blessed. Firstly, they're undefiled, and we consider that a man is justified. But then further, though he is not perfect, he seeks to keep himself unspotted from the world. There is that description, those things known about him. Secondly, as we think of the blessed man, he walks in the law of the Lord. And as we note those words there, we're going to note this theme often here in this psalm. Thirdly, he seeks to keep his testimonies, as we shall consider tonight. And also, he seeks with a whole heart the Lord in prayer. And then following on in the third verse, the conclusion of the first section, we read, They also do no iniquity, they walk in his ways. Well, tonight we come to verse 2. And as a theme tonight, and as a title of this sermon, I'd like us to consider keep and seek. Keep and seek. So first of all, we'll consider keeping his testimonies. And then secondly, seeking him with a whole heart. Now, in view of his testimonies, which we seek to keep, do not we go on to seek the Lord with a whole heart. We sincerely come before him and ask him for help as we seek to keep his testimonies. Well, first of all tonight, keeping his testimonies. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. Now, if you recall last week, we noted that there are 10 words in Psalm 119 which are used to speak of the divine revelation or God's word, which in turn show us what we have received from God and further what we are to do. 10 words. And we'll note these words again and again as we go through this psalm. Well, let's just recap on those 10 words. First of all, God's law. Secondly, his commandments. Thirdly, his precepts. Fourthly, his statutes. Fifthly, his word. Sixthly, his way. Seventhly, as we shall see tonight, his testimonies. Eighthly, his judgments. Ninthly, his righteousness. And tenthly, his truth or faithfulness. Well, here we have his testimonies, which speak of the divine revelation, his word, which show us further what we have received from God. We think of his testimonies that we have received and that which we are to be found doing or keeping. Well, blessed are they that keep his testimonies. Well, at this point, I'd like us to divide further into 3 subpoints. First of all, the Lord's. Secondly, the testimonies. Thirdly, the keeping. The Lord's, they're his testimonies. Secondly, the testimonies themselves. And thirdly, the keeping. First of all, then, the Lord's. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies. And straight away, the psalmist directs us to consider the Lord. They're his testimonies. They belong to him. In a moment, we'll note this particular word, testimonies. It speaks of a testimony or testimonies or a witness or witnesses. We'll come back to this in a moment. Well, they are the Lord's testimonies or the Lord's witnesses. This is God's book. It's good often, isn't it, just to pause and reflect upon the book we have before us. It's God's word. And God speaks to us through the word. In Psalm 98, verse 11, we read, "The Lord gave the word." Many have disputed certain passages. Many despise it. There's been the critics, but we recognize it is the Lord's word. The Lord gave the word. He's given us this book. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, we read, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." All scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, it's given by inspiration of God. It's breathed out by God. The Lord gave the word. In 2 Peter 1 verse 21 we read, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." And there we see it. The Holy Ghost moved certain ones. The Lord gave the word, breathed out by God. The Holy Spirit exerted that supernatural power upon certain men, enabling them, governing them to record what was revealed to them from him accurately and without error. The Lord gave the word. And so when we think of the testimonies, it is the Lord's testimony. We think of the word as a whole, the Lord's testimony, and then those individual things that the Lord has made known, which we are to believe and practice as the testimonies, plural. Well, this being so, we ought to have a deep respect for the ways of the Lord, for the testimonies of him. They are the testimonies of our God, our covenant God, who is so great. So wonderful. He is eternal and most holy. And therefore we have this deep respect in our hearts for his testimonies. And so we read in verse 15, down further in the psalm, "I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways." The ways of the Lord. Or we could think of the testimonies. And we have this respect. We have respect for them because they're God's. And he is so great and so holy. We value them. We value his testimonies. Because it reveals things about him. And it shows us the way we are to live. Dear brethren, ever value the testimonies of the Lord. In Psalm 119, verse 72, "The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver." See, the psalmist, he viewed them as so precious. And they are, aren't they? They're so precious. How the Lord speaks. The Lord gave the word and the Lord speaks. And we've been blessed and we've been helped. We've been shown the way. We've been guided in life. We've been comforted in affliction. Oh, do not we value the testimonies of the Lord. In many a home there is no Bible. In some homes the Bible is gathering dust on a shelf. But in others it is opened each day and the pages are turned. Why, dear brethren? Because we value the testimonies of the Lord. We're living in days when the testimonies are put to one side. They're mocked and despised. But we treasure them as one who would treasure gold. And in doing so, we show our deep respect we have for them. They are his testimonies. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies. We'll think further as they are his testimonies. Let us ever love them. Let us contend for them. Thomas Watson the Puritan wrote, we ought to contend for the scriptures. This jewel is too precious to be parted with. It's too precious. And that's why we contend for them. And we desire that the word of God go forth more and more into this nation. And we're prepared to stand up for the word of God. Because it's a jewel. And it's too precious, as Watson said, to be parted with. Contend for them and seek to keep them. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies. They're the testimonies of your Lord. They belong to your Maker. They belong to your Sovereign. So let us seek to keep them. Well, let's move on now and consider particularly the testimonies. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies. They're the Lord's. Well, what are they? Well, we've already looked at this in a little way, but let's look at it in more detail. The testimony or the testimonies. Well, let's think of the testimony. The witness or the witnesses. Something that testifies. Something that bears witness. And then a little further, a solemn declaration or witness. Let's think of the word of God. It solemnly declares what we are to believe and what we are to practice. It's a testimony. It's a witness. And then thinking of the individual things we are to believe and practice, they are the witnesses, the testimonies. They are the testimonies of God, who is a witness himself. And in your own time, just look at a few verses in Scripture, you'll see that the Father is witness, the Son is witness, and the Holy Spirit is a witness. They are the testimonies of God, who is a witness himself. We consider the word of God as a whole, as the testimony of the Lord. Psalm 19, verse 7. We sang those words earlier. Psalm 19 and verse 7. The psalmist thinking of the word of God as a whole. The Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. He's thinking of it as a whole. Yes, we can think of the individual truths, but he's thinking there of the truth as a whole. The testimony of the Lord is sure. Now, as we think of the testimonies, they are a solemn declaration, but they are also wonderful, aren't they? And in your own time over these months, just keep reading through this psalm and you'll see how the psalmist speaks of the wonder and how the word of God is wonderful. Psalm 119, verse 129, thy testimonies are wonderful. He thinks of them. He knows he's been shown the way. He knows what to believe. And he considers them as wonderful. They speak to the heart. They show us what we're to believe. And they show us the way. They're wonderful, aren't they? How the Lord speaks. How the Lord directs. How the Lord shows us what we're to believe. There's many confusing voices in this world. The Lord's word is clear. Therefore thy testimonies are wonderful. They direct us in the way of blessing. And being used through the Holy Spirit, they bring us into deeper fellowship with the Lord. Thy testimonies are wonderful. And are we not thankful when the Lord so uses the word He shows us the way and we're brought closer. Thy testimonies are wonderful. And they're a cause of rejoicing. Psalm 119, verse 111. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. They bring joy to the soul. Yes, they guide us. At times they rebuke us. But oh, we look further, and even through the rebuking, we know in time there will be joy, because we know the Lord has dealt well with us. They are the rejoicing of our heart. Now we read in verse 138 these words. Thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful. They're righteous and very faithful. Look well to them. Meditate on them. There's no unfairness or unfaithfulness in them. They are faithful. Therefore, in keeping of them, blessings attend. And that brings us now to consider thirdly, the keeping. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies. The Hebrew word na'tashar speaks of to guard, to protect, to maintain, to obey. There's so much there, isn't there, when we think of keeping. Guard them, protect them, maintain, obey. Let me use a simple illustration. You think of a hedge. The hedge is there as a boundary. But then the farmer may maintain the hedge from another perspective. Guard, protect, maintain, obey. Have an eye on them. Consider them. Do not go through them. One will carefully study them and seek to guard or maintain them. Ah, yes, there it is. I will have it before me. I will use them in my life. They will be maintained in that sense. One will seek to walk within the boundary of them and not break through. There is this keeping, the keeping of his testimonies. Now, dear brethren, is it not our desire for the glory of God that we are found keeping his testimonies? That's our great concern, isn't it? In all that we do, and as we think here, the keeping of the testimonies of the Lord, we want to keep them chiefly for his glory, that he might be glorified in our lives, but then also for our benefit. We love them, we value them, we have a respect for them. Do not we desire with our whole hearts to keep them? We know we will fail. We will break. We will not keep. But oh, it's our desire to keep his testimonies. We fail at times, don't we? We don't keep. You may make a promise and you can't keep it. Maybe you promised to be there on such a day and at such a time. Maybe it's an appointment. I have to be honest, I've not always kept my dentist appointments, and perhaps sometimes I'm not keen to do so, and I'd rather them be changed. We don't keep our appointments. We don't always keep our word. There's times when we do not keep that which we had previously agreed to do. I was talking to a lady last Thursday in the village in her 80s, and she was upset because she hadn't kept her promise. And I tried to help her and said, it doesn't matter. It wasn't a sin issue. But she felt bad because she hadn't kept her promise. She has her physical difficulties and she had promised that she would try to go and rest on her bed in the evening rather stay in the chair. She promised to the carer. But she couldn't do it. She panicked. To go into the room at night on her own. No, she panicked. And she was so upset she hadn't kept her word. How much more upset we should be when we do not keep something that God has solemnly declared we are to be doing. We should be upset. Is it not our desire to keep his testimonies? And when we don't keep, we're moved, we're upset about it. We need to seek forgiveness when we fail. But oh, it's our concern. It's our desire to keep those things which he has solemnly declared to us. In repenting, when we fail and haven't kept, is it not our desire then with a purpose to keep the law? Psalm 119, verse 59. I thought of my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimony. This is the psalmist. He's mourning over his sin. He's thought on his ways. He hasn't kept. But now in repenting, he has this purpose. He turns his feet unto God's testimonies. And dear brethren, in a spiritual way, in our walk, we at times will be found turning our feet. We haven't kept. We've gone through the boundary. But oh, the Lord has his finger on us and brings us to a point, and we with this purpose desire to so keep. And so we turn our feet unto his testimonies. We seek to keep them. Now, in seeking to keep his testimonies, we need to be reading, but then further meditating over them. And this is seen in Psalm 119, verse 99. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. They're my meditation. I'm going to think on them. I'm going to stop in my mind and think upon them. You know, at times we lean on our own understanding. At times there's so many things come into our minds, and we've got so many lawful things to think about. There's so many pleasurable things to consider, joyful things. But oh, take time to think on those joyful and pleasurable things of the word. Take time to meditate upon his testimonies. Stop in your minds those words to Ruth. Sit still, my daughter. And how we need to sit still. It's not easy at times, is it? The children do better than me in my home at times. Oh, to sit still and meditate. You remember Mary on that night? The shepherds had come. They went and they made known. Mary's pondering all those things in her heart. She's taking time just to think about the Lord and the message of the angel and what the shepherds have said. Oh, take time to think about the Lord. Take time to meditate on the testimonies. Thy testimonies are wonderful. Oh, think upon them. If we're to be keeping, we need to be thinking about God's word. We need to give time to the meditation of God's word. Note those words in Psalm 1. They're familiar words. Psalm 1 and verse 2. The psalmist has a delight in the word of the Lord, and he meditates upon it day and night. Psalm 1 and verse 2. But his delight is in the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He meditates in it each and every day. Dear brethren, keep meditating. Keep thinking about the Lord's testimonies. Keep thinking about your Lord. It's a great help to living, isn't it? It's a great help as we go through affliction. It's a great help as we traverse through the paths of this world to keep thinking about the Lord and his word. I will meditate upon them. Oh, for help in this. We read in Psalm 119, therefore doth my soul keep them. Verse 129, my soul keeps them. Oh, I need help to keep. And we're not ashamed to ask the Lord for help, are we? Lord, help me. Help me to turn my feet unto thy testimony. Help me to keep thy testimonies within my heart. Oh, for help. Precious words in Psalm 119, verse 36. Incline mine heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness. Incline mine heart. That's a precious word. It's one of the favourites I have. Incline. Incline mine heart. Stretch my heart. Put thy finger upon my soul and pull at my heart. Pull at my affections. Let my heart be pulled towards the word and towards thee. Incline mine heart. Oh, for the enlarging. Oh, for the moving of the soul. Oh, for the heart to be pulled towards the Lord and his word. Stretched in that direction. For activity. You think when something's stretched, it speaks of movement. Oh, that the Holy Spirit would so work in our hearts and cause this movement within. Oh, for the movement within the soul towards the word. Well, we read here, blessed are they that keep his testimonies. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies. We are blessed, dear brethren. For through the grace of God and the help of the Holy Spirit, we were found rejoicing in the testimony of Jesus Christ, the gospel, 1 Corinthians 1 verse 6. We believe to the saving of the soul. We're blessed, are we not? We received the gospel. We received the testimony. And we're blessed forever in doing that which is right in our lives as believers. We are blessed as we seek to keep his testimonies. Well, let's move on as we draw to a close and consider secondly tonight, seeking him with a whole heart. Seeking him with a whole heart. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. We are a seeking people who humbly and sincerely seek the Lord. The psalmist is describing us. And are we not thankful it is our testimony here? We are a people that are seeking the Lord. This is the generation of them that seek him. The firstly, through grace we sought him, hungering after that righteousness which he imputes, that is the righteousness of Christ, as we saw last Lord's Day morning. The Holy Spirit made us hungry, and through grace we sought the Lord, and we have been satisfied. Satisfied with the righteousness of Christ. Just think of that for a moment. Just think of Christ and his righteousness, and let your heart be so full of it, be so full of praise. We're satisfied. We're not satisfied with our righteousness, no, because it's filthy rags and it would not avail, but oh, we're so satisfied with the righteousness of Christ, and are we not thankful it's still covering us? And it will always cover us. He'll never take the robe away. He'll never take that garment off us. No, not in even in all eternity. Oh, we're satisfied. We were made hungry and we sought the Lord and we received. There was a seeking like the shepherds who went to Bethlehem and we found Christ. You know, it's so overlooked, isn't it, Luke 2? I remember preaching upon Luke 2 a number of years ago and learning many lessons in that account. Oh, they were fearful. But all the Holy Spirit showed to them the suitableness of Christ. And they reasoned amongst themselves. And they went to Bethlehem. They sought the Lord. And they found him. And dear brethren, the Holy Spirit worked within. And we were found seeking the Lord. And we found him. What a blessing. We are those who have sought the Lord with a whole heart. Our hearts were touched. And we sought Jesus. And Jesus alone. For salvation is in him and in him alone. Are we not thankful? The psalmist is describing us. We sought the Lord with a whole heart. We had a heart for the Lord. The Lord gave us that heart. And we found Christ. Oh, that there would be a seeking today. So few seek the Lord. In certain countries of the world, there are many seeking the Lord. But in this country, so few seek the Lord. Now, I was reading an article the other day which claims that only around 3% of the population are truly born again. Now, a few more attend church, but the article claims that only 3% of this population are truly born again. So what does that imply? 97% of the population have not truly sought the Lord. Now the Lord knows the total figure. But we know there's only a few of us. Oh, that many more would seek the Lord. Oh, that the Holy Spirit would so blow. What a mission field the United Kingdom is. So few have sought the Lord. We thought here that the psalmist is describing us. He's just describing a few in this nation. Oh, that many would yet seek the Lord, that the Spirit would go into the hearts of many. Now the invitation goes out, Isaiah 55 verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near, while he may be found. There's hope for sinners tonight. While he is near. Oh, that many would seek him. Now in Psalm 22 verse 26 we read these words, "The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever." That's an interesting verse, isn't it? And we can think of the Beatitudes, the meek, and those who have hungered after the Lord, those that have sought him. What do we read there? "Your heart shall live forever." How a man is blessed who has sought the Lord. And we are so blessed. What do we read here tonight? "Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with their whole heart." Or that men will be found down on their knees and pleading with God. Now in Psalm 14 verse 2 we read this, "The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God." He looked down. The psalmist is thinking in his day, oh consider now, the Lord looks down and he glances across this village and he glances across this nation to see if there are those who are seeking him. But we are. But so few do. Oh, what must the Lord be thinking as he looks upon this country? The Lord looked down from heaven. He's looking now upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. He looks down. Be encouraged. He remembers you. And he sees you as blessed as he looks down upon you tonight. Now, dear brethren, let us ever be thankful with a heart full of praise that we have been led to seek the Lord. But then as believers, we thought of that initial seeking, but then as believers, we should ever be seeking the Lord. Psalm 105 verse 14, "Seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face evermore." We are to continue in our seeking the Lord. Yes, we were given a heart and we sought him and we've been blessed in the gospel. We now as believers, we continue to seek him. He's our heavenly Father. He's our wonderful friend, our comforting shepherd. We continue to seek him, for we need him. We needed him then, and we proved that we needed him every day since we came to faith in him. We need him tonight. We need him as a people here tonight. And we need him when we wake up in the morning, if the Lord spares us. We need to seek his face forevermore. Think of the time we have here upon earth. We need to seek him for so many things. And then in glory we'll continue to seek his face forevermore in praising him. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face evermore. We've had strength for today. We need fresh help and strength tomorrow. So we seek his face again. We seek him in prayer. In that initial way we sought him in prayer, but we continue now to seek him as our heavenly Father in prayer. Remember those words, learnt them as a child. "Ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you." Ask. We're thinking of a child. Here's one in a childlike way. Asking the Lord. Dear brethren, we're the children of God. Let's go to our Heavenly Father tonight and ask him. And then seek. One's looking for something. We seek the Lord. We look for him. We earnestly search, as it were. What Jesus says, "And ye shall find." Knock. We don't give up. Each week we come, don't we? We pray again. We don't give up each day. We keep praying. We don't give up. We knock, and we knock earnestly. "Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find." Now the particular word seek, dorash from the is the Hebrew word, means to tread, to follow, to ask, to worship, to diligently inquire, to search. There's so much there. To tread, to follow, to ask, to worship. You see, in truly praying, we're worshipping the Lord, to diligently inquire. We go and inquire unto the Lord. This activity within, it's not just our lips moving, like one of old, But all there's activity in the heart as well. There's this seeking. In Song of Solomon 3 verse 1 we read this, and it just helps us to show here's one seeking. Though at this time they didn't find, they were seeking. They soon found, they were aware of the Lord's presence again. But in Song of Solomon 3 verse 1 we read, by night on my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. There is one seeking the Lord. They're praying. I've been there. I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. It's a believer. And there's the believer. They're seeking the Lord. At that time, they don't seem to find him. A little later, we read, I held him and would not let him go. But do you see there the point? There's the believer seeking. By night on my bed, I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. There's a seeking. Dear brethren, do not we in the evening time seek our beloved, the one whom our soul loves. And what a blessing to seek the beloved, to seek the beloved friend. We go searching, as it were, for him in prayer. We go seeking. We seek in a prayerful way. We turn to him in prayer. You know, when we come to times of worship, we come in and we pray, don't we? Because we're seeking the Lord. We so desire to know his presence. Yes, where two or three are gathered together, there I am in the midst of them. But we want to sense it. We want to know it personally. So we pray. We seek him. Now, noticing these words here, those who seek to keep his testimonies will seek him for help and strength. Those who seek to keep his testimonies will seek him for help and strength, for direction and guidance. We want to keep his testimonies, so we're going to turn to him in prayer. We're going to seek him. We desire that help. We desire that strength. Now you remember when the Moabites and others came against Jehoshaphat? Jehoshaphat, along with the people, sought the Lord. 2 Chronicles 20 verse 4 we read, and Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. They came to seek. They turned to the Lord in prayer. They asked help. We seek him for help. We seek him for strength. Psalm 105 verse 4, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face. And it's implied in the first light that we need to keep seeking each day, because we need fresh strength. We need more strength. Seek the Lord and his strength. Now what do we read here? Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and seek him with the whole heart. With the whole heart. The heart is engaged. It's a whole heart, not divided between him and something or someone else. No, a whole heart. In that initial way, we went to the Lord and we had a whole heart for him. We weren't looking to someone else when the Lord was saving us. No, we looked to the Lord and him alone. Those words in Proverbs 23 verse 26, my son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. My son, give me thine heart. And through the grace of God, we gave our hearts to the Lord. We sought him in prayer. With a whole heart. It wasn't divided. A whole, true and sincere heart. And as believers, we have sought the Lord like that. Yes, at times, we know our failings. But we know what it is when we truly pray. We think of true prayer here. When we seek him with a whole heart. We sought him and we continue to seek him. Our hearts are engaged. It's a great blessing, isn't it, when we feel there's something happening within when we're praying. The Holy Spirit is making intercession within, and he's stirring our hearts and he's prompting us to pray. It may be just a few words, but oh, what a blessing when we sense it may be just a few words, but we're praying. We're not just speaking with our lips, we're praying. Oh, we know what it is to seek the Lord with a whole heart. Here's true prayer. Psalm 27 verse 8, when thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. And blessed are the times when we pray and our mind goes to heaven and our mind focuses on the Lord and our heart is taken up. My heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. There's an example in 2 Chronicles 11 verse 16. And after them out of all the tribes of Israel, such as set their hearts to seek the Lord God of Israel, came to Jerusalem to sacrifice unto the Lord God of their fathers. Such as set their hearts to seek the Lord. It's a blessing when prayer begins within, isn't it? And we set our hearts to seek the Lord. Well, we are those who seek the Lord with a whole heart. We know what it is to truly pray. Yes, we feel our failings in prayer. But we know what it is to truly pray, to have a heart set on the Lord as we pray. Well, dear brethren, you are blessed. What do we read here? Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. We pity those who say a prayer in certain circumstances but then live their lives for the world. But that's not us. We're found praying with a sincere and a whole heart. We are blessed. And take comfort further tonight. He will not forsake. But when you are going to him, when you are seeking him, he will listen. Psalm 9 verse 10, and they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. He doesn't forsake. And so when you seek him, he sees you coming. And he sees your whole heart when you're truly praying. And he bows down his ear and he listens. May the Lord help us to keep his testimonies. May the Lord help us to continually seek his face. And may the Lord bless these words to us. Amen.